Today's passage is Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path.
First off, would like to express my thanks for what you guys did last week for Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Both Deanne and I would like to thank you for that, for a wonderful meal, for wonderful gifts, wonderful words. Thank you so much. It is a pleasure to serve here. It truly is a pleasure to serve here. The second thing I want to say to you is that as I quite often sit during worship service with my eyes closed, I don't know how many of you heard the coffee's almost ready. Okay, there's a few people that know what I'm talking about, don't you? For those of you that don't know, I remember growing up at my grandmother's house and hearing the coffee percolate on the stove. How many of you are hearing coffee percolate right now? I'm hearing it and hoping for a nice warm cup of coffee sometime soon. Amen? Today I want to talk to you about meditating on Scripture. Oftentimes we think about meditation as a New Age concept, that people go off somewhere to meditate on things. And we think about Far East and the number of different religions in the Far East that talk about meditation. Meditation is very important. I learned as a young Christian how important meditation was. For you see, there's five different ways, I believe, to get Scripture into your heart. One of those ways is by hearing it preached. One of those ways is just by reading the Scripture. One of those ways is studying the Scripture, pouring through the Scripture and taking some time to really come to understand it. One of those ways is memorizing the Scripture. But all four of those ways don't do much without meditating on Scripture. And the way I learned about that, and the reason I remember it with my hand, is because, pretend like this is a Bible, this just happened to be a hymnal that was sitting there, okay? I can't hold on to God's Word with just these four fingers. Reading, hearing it preached, studying it, memorizing it. I can, but you can take that out of my hand very, very quickly. Without meditation, I can't get a firm grasp on God's Word. Without meditation, I cannot get a firm grasp on God's Word. That's needed for all of us. That is needed for all of us, and we need to learn how to meditate on the Scripture so that we might make it a deeper part of our lives. But the first thing that was required before you meditate on Scripture, this psalm, the whole Psalm 119, speaks of a deep and a powerful love for Scripture. It speaks of a deep and a powerful love of Scripture. You have to have that love for the Scriptures if you're going to spend some time in meditation. What I find nowadays is many people have a Bible, but very few people read it. Very few people take time to study it. Some hear it preached, but many think that worship service is not a needed part of their life. And I find especially very few people memorizing Scripture nowadays. Some claim it's too hard to do. Some claim I just can't do it. Some say it's not possible to do it. But I find even fewer people that meditate on it. And that's why I want to talk to you about this. It's that love of Scripture that will inform so much in our lives. As I was sitting here, I was thinking about a story that I heard at seminary about a young man who had graduated a number of years previous to me, who went to the Presbyterian School of Christian Education, or Union Theological Seminary, which was on the same campus where the Baptist Theological Seminary was. You see, during his years in seminary and through all of his classes as they studied Scripture and looked at different things, he wrote down a great number of good things to preach on. And after he had been out for a year or so, he ran out of topics. And he wrote a letter to Elizabeth Ochtemeyer, who at that time was, I believe, teaching New Testament at Union Theological Seminary. And she was a deep, deep scholar of the New Testament. I have some commentaries by her, and just the doors opened up wide when you read her words. And he wrote a letter to her saying that he had collected up during seminary all these great things to preach on, and he had run out of things to preach on. And he asked her if she could suggest a book that he could read that would help him to know what were some other good topics to preach on. And as the story goes, I understand it, she sent him a Bible. You see, folks, as the people of God, oftentimes we don't have a deep love for the Scriptures. It's something we might run to for a Scripture in a time of need. It's something that we might grab a hold of, a Scripture or two, to live our lives by. But we just don't have that deep love of the Scriptures. I think about the number of Bibles that I have. I have my grandmother's Bible, two or three of hers. I have a family Bible that goes back about six or seven generations. I have Bibles that I've bought throughout the years. But you know, folks, just owning a Bible doesn't do you any good. Owning six or seven or 10 or 12 Bibles doesn't do you any good. You've got to have a love for that Scripture, and you've got to have a desire to be in the midst of that Scripture. And this psalm is a psalm that really explains that so, so well. Because this psalm has 22 stanzas, and each stanza follows the letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And in each one of those eight verses in each stanza, they all start with the same letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That's why some of your translations will have, at the beginning of the first eight, it will have the Hebrew letter Aleph. Or it'll say it in English, Beth. This stanza that we're looking at has Mem in front of it, the letter M. So every verse starts with the letter mem. Every verse. Now, some of you are looking at it, no, it doesn't in English, but it does in Hebrew. And what this writer is trying to say, let me explain to you the great and incredible love that I have for the Scriptures. And I want to explain it to you from A to Z. That's what this writer is saying. I want to explain to you this great love I have. In our stanza today starts out, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all the day long." And you see, it's twice within these eight verses that it talks about meditating on the Scriptures. It's twice within these eight verses it talks about meditating on the Scriptures. Now, the best way that I can understand and explain to you meditation is to think about the cows out in the field, eating grass and chewing their cud. And they chew it over and over and over again. And see, twice in this passage, this psalmist says, "I meditate on your Scriptures." Let me explain to you what meditation is. Meditation, when we talk about the Scriptures, is taking time to slowly consider each word and how it contributes to the overall meaning. Meditation is taking time to slowly consider each word and how it contributes to the overall meaning. The verse 98 says, "Your commands are always with me, and make me wiser than all my enemies." If I were to take that verse and to meditate upon that verse, I would think first about, what does it say? It says, "Your commands." Whose commands? God's commands. And when it talks about commands, it means the teachings of God. It means what we sometimes call the law. It means sometimes the precepts, the statutes of God. I think about what that means. I think about your commands, the commands that have come from God. Those commands, those words that God has spoken to us, are words that enrich us. God says, or the psalmist says, "Your commands are always with me." Always. What does that mean, always? Always means that all the time, doesn't it? Always means that every moment of the day. Now, here's one where I'm going to tell you, if God's commands are going to be with you always, this is where I'm going to tell you, I think it's a good idea to memorize some Scripture. Some of you have Philippians 4:13 memorized. You may not know where it is in the Scriptures, but you have it memorized. It says, "I can do" what? "All things through Christ who..." See, you guys are better at this than you tell me. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You know, I don't have to have my Scriptures open to read that, do I? It's been placed in my heart by God. And as I go throughout my day, I can say, "All things." All things. God's Word is with me always. I can do all things. Well, what are these all things that I can do? I can do all things through my own personal well-being, right? Now some of you are shaking your head at me. You know the Scripture better, don't you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Where does the strength come from to live God's word and to live God's way? Does it come from me? Do I pull it up from the bottom of my souls, up through my life, and live it in the midst of this world? I can do all things through Christ, the one who strengthens me. Your commands, verse 98 says, are always with me. How can I keep God's commands with me? By memorizing them, by placing them on my heart in such a way that at a discouraging moment during the day, the Holy Spirit can remind me, hey, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You see, if I memorize that, it allows the Holy Spirit to bring it back to me in moments of need. Whether that moment of need is driving on the interstate or sitting at home in the easy chair. Your commands. Meditation is taking these things apart and looking at them piece by piece. And what do all of these pieces mean? And how do they contribute to the overall meaning of the Scripture? Going on with the rest of verse 98, just to carry this out. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. Well, what does it mean to be wiser than my enemies? It means to understand what God has for me, the guiding light that God brings to me. It helps me to understand that the Holy Spirit is there leading and guiding me to better understand God's ways. It makes me wiser than all my enemies. Now, some of you may claim that you don't have any enemies. Let me give you an enemy then, if you can claim you don't have one. This country and this world is against Christianity. You have enemies. This country doesn't want Christianity to exist. I'm a firm believer in that. We can go back and say our forefathers were ideal Christians, but that's not true either. They were people just like we are. They had their own desires and their own ways, and they wanted to live the way they wanted to. Take some time to study our forefathers that we consider to be so Christian. Oftentimes people will tell me one of those people is Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson was about as far from being a Christian as you could be. Go and study his life. Go and study what he did to the Bible. He physically took a Bible and cut out all the parts he could not believe, and he glued back together all the parts he could believe. He took out all the miracles of Jesus. He took out all the healings. I'm not sure that he was a Christian in any way. And some people claim we got to get back to those days. You see, folks, I can be wiser than all the people that don't want Christianity to exist. How can I do that? By looking at God's commands, by keeping them with me throughout the day, by letting the Holy Spirit empower me and help me to understand what the Scriptures say. Meditation, just like the cows in the field chewing on the cud. By the way, if the cows in the field don't chew on their cud, you don't get cheese. You don't get milk. You don't get butter. If the cows were just to eat the grass, you'd never get all those good byproducts. It's the chewing of the cud that brings that all about. And I'm not going to go into deep discussion about how to chew your cud. Okay? I think you guys understand that. It's not a pretty sight, and it's not a pretty understanding. But that's what we need to do with the Scriptures. We need to be chewing on them and trying to understand what is God saying through these words. One of the other verses I really like here is it says, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." If people really believe that, I think every day they'd be in their Scriptures. Every day they'd be spending time with their Scriptures if they really believed that God's Word was so sweet to taste. Wouldn't we? How many of you crave candy? How many of you crave desserts? If you crave candy, let me just say this. Do not walk in the office. Okay? Do not walk in the office for the next couple of weeks if you crave candy. Or don't go see Lynn, because I see there's something right there. But do we believe that about God's Word? Do we believe that God's Word is that sweet to taste? Do we believe it? Are we experiencing it? Are we opening our Bibles and looking at it? Are we meditating on it and allowing it to sink deep within us? You see, the purpose of meditation is then you take this deeper understanding you get by meditating on Scripture, and you see how it helps you to live more fully. You take this deeper understanding that you get, and you see how it helps you to live more fully. So if I look at that one verse that I took apart a little bit for you, "Your commands are always with me. It makes me wiser than all of my enemies." If I want to be wiser than those who fight against me, if I want to be wiser than those that don't want me to live my life as a Christian, what do I do? I want to spend some time in God's Word. I want to spend some time in God's Word, soaking up the wisdom that's there, soaking up the understanding that's there. I want to taste how sweet that is. Not so that I can go out in the midst of this world and gloat, but so that I know that I am wiser than all of my enemies. But you see, it's got to be that time in the Scriptures. Let me go back and address what I told you about being able to grab a hold of the Bible. You can come every week and listen to me preach. My hope and my desire is that I give you some words to hold on to think about, to reflect on, to meditate on. You can come and hear me every week. Are you going to be able to pick up the Bible? Not without meditating on it. Not without spending some time to reflect upon it, to get it deep within your heart. You know, that's one of the reasons I so love that I can have my Bible on my phone. I go nowhere without my phone. I go nowhere without my Bible. I can open it up and I can turn to it and I can look at those words over and over again. I can allow it to sink a little bit deeper inside of me. But if you're just coming and hearing it each week, it's not going to get it. You've got to take what you hear here and meditate on it. Spend some time thinking about it. What's the point you got from the Scripture? How has it helped you? How will it help you as you dig a little bit deeper? You see, here's what meditation does. Meditation helps to cement your learning and understanding of Scripture into your life. Meditation helps to cement your learning and understanding of Scripture into your life. When cement sets up, how easy is it to move it? It's not, is it? Anybody ever tried to dig up a fence post that's been cemented in place? It seems as though you're digging up about 5,000 pounds of something to get that fence post out, aren't you? Meditation is going to cement God's Word into your life. Meditation is going to allow that Word to sink much deeper, to have a firm rooting. There are some scriptures that I memorized as a young Christian in the early 80s that I still know and that I still go back and hold on to. Joshua 1:8 says this, "This word shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may live according to it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Now, when I meditate on that scripture, it says that God's word will never depart from my mouth. That doesn't mean I don't speak about it. That means that it's always in my mouth and I'm always talking about it. And Joshua says in his word, he says, if you meditate upon it, if you take the time to really think about what's there and what's going on and what's happening, then you will have success. Then you will be prosperous. Do you want to have success in this life? Joshua says you do it by meditating on Scripture. Joshua says you do it by meditating on Scripture. Do you spend some time in meditation? Do you spend some time in meditation? Once again, Christian meditation is not sitting on the floor with your legs crossed like this going, Okay? That's not Christian meditation. Christian meditation is taking the very words of God and trying to get that to sink deeper into your heart, to pull it apart so that you can understand it, to put it back together so that you can see how to apply it to your life, so that you can live it. And the psalmist says in this psalm, "Your commands are always with me. They're sweeter than honey in my mouth." Do you see God's word that way? Are you spending time just meditating on God's word? So I ask you, this week, will you take some time to slowly consider the deeper meaning of God's word? Will you take some time to slowly consider the deeper meaning of God's word? The psalmist says, if you do, you'll be wiser than your enemies. Joshua says, if you do, you'll prosper and you'll have success. Will you take some time just to chew on the sweet words that God's given to us? Let's pray. Lord, you truly have given us so, so much. You've given us a deep and a wonderful word that so often we don't spend time with. The psalmist who loved your word so much says that it's always there for me. It's always with me, encouraging me and helping me, bringing sweetness and wisdom to my life. And yet, Lord, sometimes we look other places for wisdom. Help us to learn how to chew upon your word, that we might chew it into little pieces to see what's there, and then bring it back together to understand the much deeper meaning of what it says and how it can be used in our lives. Lord, guide us and direct us throughout this week that we might express a much deeper love for the word that you have formed and given to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.